Take your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 14. The Gospel of John and chapter 14. Last week, we saw that God provides promises for all who trust in Him. There are promises for all those who need Him. And that's everyone in the world who needs the Lord. There are promises that God has made. But last week we saw that God provides promises for believers to live by, and His promises give us hope and courage to obey when dealing with a doubting heart, a heart that doubts your ability to deal with difficulty, even a heart that struggles over your own weakness and sin. God's promises were given to remind you that God is working, that He is not idle, He is not sleeping, He is not distant. He works even now in our midst. I believe that as a preacher, as your pastor, as a preacher of God's Word, one who has been entrusted with the task of proclaiming God's word to all who will listen in this hour, I am confident that God is here and working. Otherwise, I would not be confident to speak to you about God's word today. God's promises were given to remind you that He is working. And we're not living the Christian life alone. And we saw this last time. Jesus told the disciples that He was going away, and they were a bit troubled to hear that. But He also told them that He was going to prepare a place for everyone who believed in Him. He also said that He was coming back to take them to that place. So all who believe in Jesus have a place in the eternal kingdom of God. Take that to heart. But it's a promise that God is keeping. And all who believe are not forgotten. All who believe in Jesus are not left behind by Christ. And those are precious promises that we can count on even when we face hardship and difficulty of all kinds in the Christian life. But having said that, would you be willing to admit today that sometimes you feel like you need something more than promises? Sometimes you feel like you need something more than words to live by. Sometimes you feel like you need something more than those promises that God is giving you in His Word. Sometimes you feel like you just feel like you need to see something, to feel something. This morning, I want you to see that you are not alone in that. If you feel that way, if you've ever felt that way, you are not alone in that. When you feel like you need something more than words, more than promises, I want you to see that God's Word shows us there is something more. Follow along in your Bible as I read, beginning at verse 8 in John 14 and reading through verse 14. John 14, verse 8, and I am reading from the English Standard Version. Philip said to Him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And so right away you hear Philip saying, I need something more than words. I need something more than promises, Jesus. Show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Verse 9, Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. But the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves. And then verse 12, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." So Philip and the other disciples had heard Jesus answer Thomas's questions. They had also heard Jesus say he was going to prepare a place and he was going to return. And they had each heard Jesus say that he is the way and the truth and the life. And they heard him say, "And no one comes to the Father except through him." But Philip thought he needed more than promises. Philip thought he needed more than Jesus. And so after Philip heard Jesus say, "From now on you do know him and have seen him," we hear Philip ask in verse 8, "Lord, show us the Father. Show us, and it is enough for us." Philip is saying, "Jesus, I hear your promises. I hear your promises, Lord, but just show us the Father. That's all we really need." Well, was that really all they needed? After all their time with Jesus, the disciples still didn't get that they were seeing God when they looked in the face of Jesus. They were seeing him as they spent time with Jesus and saw him minister. So in verse 9, look at verse 9 again. Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long and you still do not know me?" Interesting statement. You don't know me. Philip said, "Show us the Father." And Jesus says, "You still don't know me." Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, "Show us the Father"? Jesus, God the Son, the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Philip needed to understand. Jesus was God's way of showing himself to Philip. And Jesus is God's way of showing himself to us, even though we don't see Jesus physically today. We have the testimony of Christ in God's word to hold in our hands and hide in our hearts. And so when Jesus says this to Philip, it's really a gentle rebuke from Jesus, but it's a rebuke we also need to hear. Because sometimes we feel like we need more than words, more than promises. And we need to know we have far more than that if we have Jesus. And there's more. You know, we're a lot like Philip and the disciples when we read the Bible and we say, we want to know more about God. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. When you read the Bible, you have questions that are not questions you can find answers to in the Bible. And you say, "I just want to know more." When what God gave you in his word is all you really need. You need to know that. I need to know that. God's word is complete for us today. We hold God's word in our hands. And when we want to know more than what we can find in God's word, we need to be reminded that what we truly need to know this side of eternity, this side of heaven, is actually contained for us in God's word. If you want God's word to speak to you, read your Bible. That's where God is speaking. When God makes himself known to us in his word, he also promises to make himself known to us in our hearts when we surrender ourselves to his word. But when we disbelieve and doubt, how little satisfied we are. with Christ alone and His promises. Philip was saying, I need more than words, but he was also saying, I'm just not satisfied with you, Jesus. I need to see the Father. You can hear the disappointment of Jesus in verse 10. Look at verse 10 again. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. The Father who's dwelling in me gives me these words to say. As Jesus gently corrects Philip, Jesus had just told the disciples, He is the way, the truth, and the life. He had just told them, no one comes to the Father except through me. And then these words come out of Philip's mouth, just show us the Father. And Jesus is like, did you not just hear what I said? No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus. But how gracious Jesus is with him. The disciples think they've got to have some visible proof, while all along the visible proof is standing right in front of them in Jesus. But Jesus says, why do you need more proof? Why do you need more? Jesus asks, have you not been with me to see the power of God working through me? Haven't you seen the goodness of God in me? Haven't you seen the wisdom of God in me? So why can't you believe my words? Because my words are the words of God. And note here in verse 10 that Jesus points to his words, his teaching, the words that I say to you. I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Jesus is always working from the authority of God the Father, with the words of God the Father. In other words, I'm not speaking as a man. I'm speaking as God in human flesh. I'm speaking what the Father speaks because I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. You should get that, Philip. You should get that, disciples. They should have seen the fullness of God in Christ and believed. They should have been overwhelmed with joy. Colossians 1 and verse 15 tells us that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Hear that again. Jesus, the image, the physical representation of the invisible God. And we hear back in John 1 verse 14 that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 18, just a few verses later in John 1, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He, Jesus, He has made Him known. Jesus has made God known, Philip. Believer in Jesus, you believe in Jesus because Jesus makes God known. You believe in Jesus because He went to the cross for sinners and died in your place so that you would not have to bear the just and righteous wrath of God for your sins. He poured that out on His Son. And again, as Colossians 1:15 says, Jesus being the image of the invisible God, He makes God known. Full of grace and truth, he makes God known. And though no one has ever seen God, you can know God through the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. Jesus has made God known. Jesus is, as 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the image of God. And then in verse 6 it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And so though you and I don't get to see the face of Jesus Christ in this moment, we realize in the next moment, he could call us home in this moment. In the next moment, we could see the face of Jesus Christ if you're his child. But though we can't see the face of Jesus Christ in this moment, we can see him in the Scriptures. And if we believe in Jesus, God's Word makes him known to us. And he promises to shine in our hearts, to testify to our hearts who Jesus is, as we believe in him, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that's seen in the face of Jesus Christ, that was seen in the face of Jesus Christ to the disciples as they ministered alongside him. The disciples should have seen God in Jesus, but they didn't. But it's not only the disciples that have this problem. The world is so busy looking for some way to be satisfied, some way to find true joy, some way to find true contentment, when what they really are looking for is God. They're looking everywhere and they're missing God everywhere. And they refuse to believe in Jesus Christ because they don't believe they can find God there. So many want to go their own way and do their own thing. They refuse to believe in the one true God to their peril. The God revealed in the Bible, ignoring him altogether. And yet, we have to be careful about pointing a finger at the world and saying, shame on them. We do the same thing when we refuse to be satisfied with God's Word. How do we do that? We refuse to read it. Well, maybe you don't refuse to read it. You just neglect to read it. And by neglecting the Word of God and not hiding God's Word in your heart, you neglect and you refuse to believe in the promises of God's Word. The promises that God promises with His Spirit at work in His children to help you believe and understand, giving the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In John 7 and verse 46, even the officers who failed to arrest Jesus on that day had recognized the divinity of Jesus. But they didn't know what it was they saw in him. All they could say was, as they were so astounded, No one ever spoke like this man. They realized they were seeing something totally different than anything they'd ever seen before, but they didn't know how to describe it or understand it. But they were seeing God in human flesh. The disciples, the ones who'd been with him for so long, should have believed and been satisfied with his words. So Jesus says, look at verse 11 again, "Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me." So the disciples should have believed the words of Jesus. They should have. But you know how gracious God is. I hope you know how gracious God is. God gave them something more. They wanted something more than words. God gave them something more than words. They had something else. They also should have recognized His divinity and believed because of the miracles. That's exactly what Jesus points to there in verse 11. Or else believe on account of the works themselves. If you don't believe my words, if my words are not enough for you, what about the miracles? What I teach, says Jesus, is he's saying to them, what I teach reveals who I am, and you should see that. You should understand that. You should believe that. But the works themselves are also plenty of proof that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and He is doing His work through me. The power of God was clearly displayed in the words and the works of Jesus. But He isn't finished teaching them yet. He's not finished teaching us yet either. How grateful we ought to be for God's patience in our lives as He was patient with the disciples. Because He's not finished teaching them or us how to deal with a troubled and doubting heart. Because a troubled and doubting heart we haven't seen the end of in this life. These are promises that we need to know and understand and apply to our lives and hide in our hearts so that when we catch ourselves doubting, we come back to them and correct ourselves with the truth of God's Word. Jesus gives us this wonderful news. Look at verse 12. Truly, truly, says Jesus. Again, I've mentioned this before. He's saying, pay attention. This is firsthand knowledge you're getting. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. You have seen, Jesus says, you have seen the works that God has worked through me. If you're not finding the words enough, what about the miracles? What about the works? And here Jesus says, you're going to do even greater works. You're going to do even greater works than these if you believe in me, because I'm going to the Father. Do you ever feel like you need more than the promises of God to help you in your walk with Jesus? Here's some of the most wonderful news. Whoever truly believes in Jesus will also work the works of Jesus Christ. If they yield to God's Word and yield to the Spirit at work in them, believers also do the works of Christ and even greater things. Now, that's hard for us to comprehend. Possibly we might be saying or thinking in our minds, how is that even possible that we could do greater things than Jesus, God in human flesh? First, it's possible because Jesus was soon going to the Father. He was going to depart from the disciples, and He would ascend to the Father. And that is good news, even though it didn't sound like it to the disciples. Because when Jesus goes to the Father, He will pour out His Spirit on all believers, and does today. We'll hear it when we get to verses 16 and 17. How about a sneak peek? Look at verse 16, where Jesus says, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper." There's another name for the helper, the Holy Spirit. There's even another name for the Holy Spirit, and we sang it in one of the hymns that we sang today, Counselor. "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper," that's the Holy Spirit, our Counselor, "to be with you forever," verse 17, "even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus says, I'm with you now. The Spirit, God the Spirit, my Spirit will be in you. The Spirit will come. I will pour out my Spirit on you after I have gone to the Father. And so we need to hear this today and understand from God's Word that wholehearted and devoted believers in and followers of Jesus will do the works of Jesus in his physical absence, because believers in Jesus have the indwelling presence of Christ, the Spirit of God at work in them, helping them, empowering them to do the works of God, obeying his word. You realize that when you obey God's word with the help of the Holy Spirit, you are doing the works of God on this earth. Think of it, obeying the commands of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus, the obedience we seek for God's glory, it's all possible because the believer has the power of Christ. Without the power of Christ in us, we would just go about disobeying all the time. And in Jesus is the power of God. And the power that was visible in Jesus will be visible in you when you become the radiance of Christ as you obey God's word. You see, God's followers of Jesus who walk in obedience to his word with the indwelling help of the Holy Spirit bring great glory to God. Shine the light of Christ into this world as we take up the word and obey it with our lives. I want you to note, this is not so that the world will say, what wonderful people. We don't seek to obey. I hope you're not seeking to obey so that people will go, wow, what a great person. Or what great people at Chardon Baptist Church. Or what great people those Christians are. We would love to hear that, but that's not why we obey. No, it's so that the world will see the power of God at work in us, shaping us, changing us. Know what Jesus says next. Look at verses 13 and 14 again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, and don't miss this, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. What is the ultimate purpose for God answering the prayers of believers in Jesus? Here's the purpose. It's God's glory put on display before the watching world who desperately needs for themselves to trust in Jesus, so that they can be forgiven their sins, so that they can be filled with the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Spirit to be obedient to God's word. Note also that not only will those who believe in Jesus have the power of God at work in them, they will also have the power of God at work for them. Did you see it there in verse 13? Look at verse 13 again. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. The purpose, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But don't miss that he's actually doing something for the believer. This is why Jesus came to earth, fully God while fully man, taking the punishment for the sins of many, so that the Father may be glorified by his obedience. Jesus has been and will always be obediently going about the Father's business. Now, as believers in Jesus, that's your role, to obediently go about the Father's business in the name of Jesus Christ, yielding to God's word. And God is answering the prayers of his people. Don't miss the importance of prayer here. Did you see it? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. How do you do that? Prayer? Prayer in Jesus' name is prayer informed and led by God's Word. You need to know the Bible so that you know how to pray. You want to know how to talk to God? Read the Bible. Understand God's Word. Seek to put God's Word into your heart so that He will come alongside you and help you know how to pray in a way that honors God. God is answering the prayers of His people. We think we need more than promises. So does your Heavenly Father. He knows you need more than promises. You know what else He's given you? He's given you prayer. The privilege of speaking to Him and asking for wisdom from His Word. And so He gives you the privilege of prayer, and your prayer prayed in obedience to God's Word, which is essentially what it means to pray in Jesus' name. You're not praying in Jesus' name if you come to God and say, "This is what I want," and you plan to do your own thing. You can't say you're praying in Jesus' name if you come to God in prayer and say, "This is what I need," and you plan to go about your own business and do your own thing, neglecting the truth of the Word, being disobedient to God's Word. When you pray in Jesus' name, you're supposed to come with humility before God, saying, "Not my will be done, but your will be done. Help me to know your will. Give me wisdom as I seek to obey you, and you accomplish your good purposes for your glory in my life while I seek to obey you. And come what may, I want to be satisfied with how you answer. And whatever you give or whatever you choose to withhold." Prayers prayed according to the truth of God's Word and for God's glory, they not only reach the ear of God, but they also are met with the resources of God, the Creator of the universe. So God is working for your benefit, for your good. He knows what you need. He knows what's best for you, and He is working. And He answers your prayers. He may not answer them the way you prayed them, the way you asked. But God's Word is there to help you learn to be content with His answers, knowing that He knows best. Oh, we want more than God's promises, and God knew we would, so He gave us His Son, in whose name we can pray, who is working on our behalf, working in us by His Spirit. God gave us His Son who would be the sacrifice for sin because He knew we could not atone for our own sins. He knew we could not save ourselves. He knew we could not be righteous enough to be worthy of His grace without the righteousness of Christ on our behalf. He gave us His Son who would suffer and die, who would rise from the dead, and who would ascend into heaven. He gave us His Son who would prepare a place for us in His eternal kingdom for all people who believe in the Son. There's a place in the eternal kingdom of God. And God gave us His Son who would come again to take all His children to Himself, to dwell with Him for all eternity in His kingdom. And God gave us His Son, giving all Jesus' followers the right to pray in the name of His Son. And it's only in His name that we have the right to pray. It's only in the name of Jesus that we can approach the Father. Because the Father looks to the Son in His righteousness for the righteousness that He imputes to us, that He accredits to our account as we put our faith and trust in Jesus alone. It's only in Jesus that we can come to the Father in prayer, seeking His provision, asking for His help, pleading for His wisdom as we go to the Word. Because that is where He gives us His wisdom. And then He promises to shine into our hearts with the wisdom of His Word to help us learn how to live this life. God knew we needed more than His promises. He knew we needed the Spirit of Jesus Christ at work in us, with the teaching of Christ guiding us. And He knew we'd need the privilege of prayer so that we could bring all of our burdens to the Lord and lay them there and trust Him with them all. All made possible by the Lord Jesus Christ. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Who would not be much in prayer when he knows that he has the ear of the King of Kings?" Amen to that. And so we dare not take prayer for granted. We dare not take the words of God that we have in His Word for granted. We dare not take the work of the Spirit in God's people for granted. How privileged we are to be able to call on the power of God to work in us and through us, all for His glory. Bow your heads with me.